Solomon was the 10th son of David. He was the second son of Bathsheba. And even though he wasn't David's oldest boy, he ended up inheriting the throne. And Solomon became known and famous for his wisdom, for his wealth, and for his wide-ranging building programs. Just a few factoids about him. Solomon penned 3,000 proverbs and more than 1,000 songs. He built the first temple in Jerusalem. He built fortified cities, he built palaces, he built store cities. He accumulated vast wealth and possessions. He was married to 300 women and had 1,000 concubines. Solomon was the kind of guy who could get anything he wanted. And yet we read in the book of Ecclesiastes these words: "I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind." There was nothing to be gained under the sun. If Solomon's life can teach us anything, it's that we won't find happiness by getting more. So it was a couple of summers ago, I was getting together with a group of friends from the East Coast, Southern Delaware, where I'd spent a lot of my early teenage years up until my senior year when we moved to Chicago. And I'd always felt connected to that community. So I went back for my 25th anniversary, high school anniversary reunion. It was an exciting time to get back there and see friends that I hadn't seen in more than a decade. It was incredible. It was kind of confusing. You sort of feel the same inside, and then you realize you don't look the same when you see all your friends, right? After that many years, it's just long enough. And I can remember we were a graduating class of 18, so there weren't a lot of us. It was a small group there in Southern Delaware, and so it was fun to get the old gang back together. And as you kind of catch up through the night, one of the things that you see is that you might change a little bit. You might mature a little bit, but when you all get together again, you sort of fit back into those old roles again. If you've been to one of these things, you kind of know what I'm talking about. And so it was fun to see Christy and Liz and DJ and Brian and Steve and all these people who were still in my memory, people I told stories about and thought of as people who helped mold and shape my life. And it was also fun to hear how they were doing, seeing how different people were, where they were in life, some of them super involved in ministry, some of them not necessarily walking with the Lord. And I can remember there was a certain point where we're all sitting around talking, and one of the guys there, Steve, he was talking about how he likes to work and all the side hustles he has going on and the money he's making so that he can get the stuff that he likes. And it's there right on the Atlantic Ocean. He loves going out in the ocean and doing fishing and all these other things. And he's talking about stuff. And finally, one of the girls in the class just looks at him and she says, "Steve, money's not going to buy you happiness." And he looked at her and he shot right back and he said, "No, but it'll buy the stuff that makes me happy." You know, it's funny because I think all of us know, right, up here that that's not true. I can say as a pastor, I know up here that's not true. Money's not going to make you happy. Money's not going to buy the stuff that makes you happy. I know that up here, but there's a huge difference between knowing something up here and knowing it in here, isn't there? Why is it that after we open the gifts after Christmas and rip off all the wrapping paper, there's sometimes that feeling of letdown, right? We see it with our kids. They get that gift they've been waiting for months. They play with it for a month, and then it's forgotten or broken or something else, right? Or why is it when you're already full, you take one more bite? Or why is it you've been looking forward to this big vacation and you do it, and when you do it, you're like, yeah, this is great, but you occasionally have to find yourself psyching yourself up for it to be as good as you always had hoped it would be, right? We know these things, and yet some of us, a lot of us, I'd say all of us at some times, we really expect something out there to fill a hole that is in here. And it could be something very basic like food or possessions or a promotion. It could be relationships. It could be, you know, when I finally meet that right person, I'm going to be complete. When we finally have our child, then everything we've always wanted we'll have and the hole will be filled. When they finally see that I was right, and when they finally notice that I'm the right person for this position, then that hole is gonna get filled. In this series, we're gonna be looking at some of the big important things that we chase after. And happiness is certainly one of the things that all of us are chasing after. And we're gonna be doing this by walking through a series of different character studies in Scripture. This morning we're looking at Solomon. And as you already heard, we're looking at this basic idea: we won't find happiness by getting more. Would you say that with me? We won't find happiness by getting more. I wanna welcome you guys in here, you joining us in online and in the venue. Why don't we bow our heads together in prayer right now as we prepare to hear what God has for us. Lord, we love you, and Lord, there's just such a huge gap between knowing something is true and really knowing it's true in our hearts. Sometimes we get off track, and Lord, it's often as we're going after something that might be good. Lord, we want to go about our lives in a way that will bring life to us now, and eternal life to us. And Lord, we know that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come here, magnify the name of Jesus, so that we can know what it means to live in the kingdom of God, our Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So as we go through these character studies, we're going to be breaking each sermon into a couple parts, and it's really simple. The first part is getting lost. What does this character have to tell us about getting off the right path and getting ourselves into a position where we're never going to get to where we want to go? And going home, what do they teach us? What do they show us about the right way to get to where we're hoping to be? So how does Solomon show us this? What does Solomon have to teach us about happiness? Okay? And in many ways, his example is a negative example. There are three aspects of Solomon's life that I want to unpack for us this morning. The first part is Solomon's knowledge. Solomon was raised by King David, surrounded by godly mentors, and granted divine wisdom. How many of you know a lot of what we are is a result of our family of origin, right? And that can be sometimes a negative, and sometimes that can be a positive. And a lot of times you meet people and they've learned certain things over the years, but then they have other things that when they were growing up in this family, it was like they drank it down with the water. You know, you meet someone who's really mechanically inclined, and then you find out their dad was a mechanic, and like from the time they could crawl, they were crawling underneath cars and figuring out how to change oil and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. For me, my thing that I grew up with was church. I can't remember a time when church was not a part of my normal, all-the-time existence. My dad was a pastor, and so I grew up, and my dad was part of a church plant in New Jersey, and that church grew, and then he took our family, and we moved down to southern Delaware, where he planted another church. And I can remember when we moved to southern Delaware, when we planted that first church, it was our very first church building was in our house. They bought this ranch-style house on 3 acres of land and big, long driveway. And one of the rooms that would eventually become my bedroom had been, at one point, a two-car garage. And it got converted into kind of a larger room. And I can still remember as a kid on Saturday night getting the folding chairs and setting up the folding chairs in that room. And then Sunday morning, it was my job to take the sign. And we had this big sign. And I had to walk down the driveway, this 100-yard driveway, and it felt like 5 miles, you know, carrying this old metal sign down to the end of the driveway with a hammer, and I would put it in, and I'd boom, 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 and then I would go back down. And you want to know about church? I know about church. I grew up doing it. It was what was the very atmosphere of my youth. I don't even have to think about it. Think about the atmosphere that Solomon grew up in for a second. He was the son of a king. And he wasn't just the son of any king. He was the son of King David, the great psalmist. He was the son of David, the man after God's own heart. He was the son of a man who possessed unbelievable vision, incredible courage, strategic planning, and at the same time, an unbelievable humility. In so many ways, Solomon had the benefit of growing up under this father who was surely a flawed man and yet at the same time exhibited so many things that would make for growing up with wisdom and knowledge. And Solomon didn't just have David. He was surrounded by priests and the high priest and prophets and other kingdom officials and warriors. So his whole life, his whole existence, he was at the absolute upper level of society. He had access to the best mentors, the best teachers, the best people. So Solomon was a man who knew so much. And when we read about Solomon in Scripture,